This is Adam Klein, Global Graduate Director, faculty member at New Ventures West. This is episode 9 of our podcast, Stepping In, a podcast where we delve into how integral coaching can address some of the most pressing issues we face as individuals, as communities, and as stewards of our planet. In this episode, I'm joined by James Flaherty for a continuation of our previous conversation of how to respond to our world. In particular, how we handle all the activities, news streams, and requests for our attention. May it be of support to you.
My view is that one of the most fundamental decisions we have to make these days, being a person in the modern world, is in what way is the world that we're living in unifying us, or in what way is it disintegrating us? And what are my practices, in other words, my recurring activities that I'm doing every day or even every hour, and what effect are they having on me? The trouble with our life is that there's no time to reflect and no time to notice the effect of how we're living. The effect of how we're living is having on us. So I think a big part of the response to our current world starts with noticing how I'm living is shaping me. Because if we're going to respond, it seems to me, we have to have much more creativity, resourcefulness available to us than we do for the most part. We are so stretched out by everything that we're engaged in that we have nothing left except to survive. Everything is taken. People are depleted. People are in a body that is a nervous system that's fully stimulated all the time with no leftover capacity. So there's nothing we can do except struggle to keep up. So I think a big part of that, of the initial responsiveness, is besides what I just said, which is noticing the effect of how we're living on us, and then deciding what are we going to cut off that we've been following, that we've been keeping up with.
Right.
Part of the difficulty of our response is we're trying to respond to so many places.
Right.
We're trying to respond to all of the messages that come to us on our different social media accounts, rather than selecting what is it that I'm going to direct my life towards, and how am I going to let go of all the pulls into other activities that will dilute what I'm up to. We are, I think, all in a big worry about being left out, of someone bringing up a topic in a conversation and we won't know about it. So much of what we try to keep up with doesn't matter, except to attend to our worry that we're being left out of something, or being shown up in a conversation when someone introduces a topic that we can't say anything about. So are we going to let go of a lot of things so we can focus on that which is important? And I think if we don't do that, we won't make much of a contribution.
Right. Well, in listening to you talk, one of the things, especially in this last part, that I'm thinking about is there's a certain level of having to, like you're saying, let go of certain things, but also to know something about ourselves. What are my interests, values, capacities, and things that I could bring in response to something, versus having a more, if I just have a real surface level response to everything, then I can have something to say at a certain level, but it doesn't require any depth of me. It doesn't require me to go inside of myself and really examine how might I respond more powerfully or more fully.
Well, that's such a great, such a great topic, and an important one, which is how do we bring depth to our life? Depth in the way you're talking about it, which is depth of understanding and contact with myself, and then depth of contact with others in the world. That's a thumbnail critique of our current world, is everything is surface. How do we come to a deep understanding of ourselves and our capacities and our interests and our, as you said, our values. So part of it is reflection of building in time to reflect, but also it's having deeper conversations than we have usually in our day-to-day life. I'm reading a book by Sherry Turkle, who's the great sociologist teaching at MIT about technology, and her book is called Reviving Conversations. The essence of her critique of our current society is that we are getting worse and worse at having conversations. One of the components of that is, as you're saying, is knowing ourselves. And she cites evidence that says that if we don't have time alone, we can't know ourselves, which seems obvious when we say it. But how many of us have time alone, solitary time, when we're not just in away from other people, but away from our media, where we're not doing a mail or any other kind of electronic interactions, when we're simply with ourselves? And she's claiming that the research shows that if that's missing, we don't ever get to know ourselves. So it's part of the reason, say, in our year-long class, we ask everyone to take on a meditation practice. So at least for that 30 minutes every day, the person is solitary. They're just relying on themselves and paying attention to themselves. And of course, we also ask people to journal, which is a reflective practice. I think that's an important dedication that each of us has to make in our life these days, which is time alone. The other part is interacting with art. So great painting or music or literature as a way of deepening our world, being able to understand situations from other people's point of view, and also to notice my own response, my own reaction, as an indication of the kind of person that I am. These days, it's so easy for us to curate everything from our friends to our news that gets to us to our music, so that we don't ever get anything unexpected or anything uncomfortable or anything edgy for us. So we stay in this narrow band of response and a narrow band, consequently, of how we know ourselves. So it can be an important practice to reach out to the world of art and take it in.
Yeah, a couple of the words that you're using, I think, are worth, seems to be talking about like taking it in. And earlier you said engaging with art, which is, to me, different than just going to like look at art or consume art, which, you know, I can be in the habit of going to a museum and just walking by things quickly. Oh yeah, that was nice, or I didn't like it, or I did like it. So I bring that forward because I think sometimes you can get lost this way of engaging with things, especially in a world where so many things come at us that we are in a habit of consuming.
It's funny to go to a great museum, say like the Louvre. I don't know if you've ever been to the Louvre, Adam, but it's miles and miles of hallways of art. And I would say 50 or 60% of the people go there to see one or two pieces of art. So they go there to see the Mona Lisa, and they go there to see the Venus de Milo. But do we have the chance, because there's always, like I was saying, hundreds of people around it, do we have a chance to stay in the presence of the art and let it affect us and quiet ourselves and let it change us, let it stir emotions and thoughts and memories, open up different ways of being? So that's what you're saying, is that's what it takes, not, quote, consuming art, which is racing through the hallways, got it, saw it, next, oh, that's, it's like eating a bowl of potato chips.
Right.
Sort of know that there was a bowl full at the beginning, and then 15 minutes they're gone, but you don't know what happened in between. They're just gone. And at the end of a day at the Louvre, it's easy for people to just be tired, but not moved, not touched, not informed. It is a funny thing that we're living with so much input day to day, but nothing gets to us.
Right, right.
Anyway, art seems to me to be an important component in bringing depth to our life. I was leading our new class last week, Masterful Conversations, and it occurred to me that in the middle of doing an exercise about listening, we took a few hours and talked about three different depths of listening. And the first depth of listening was just about content. And I saw in the room that to some people in the class loved listening at the level of content. They were really amused, and the person they were talking to was encouraged by their amusement, and they went on to tell stories, and both people were entertained.
Can you say a little bit about what content means, like listening at the content?
Yeah, so the exercise was, so if I would tell you a story, a 5 or 10 minute story about my life, and with lots of detail, like when I went to Hawaii the first time, I got to the airport early, about 9:15 in the morning for a noon flight, and I stayed in the lounge, and I drank coffee, and it was full of details, including what happened on the flight and what happened when I got off the plane and smelled Hawaii for the first time and got a flower lei around my neck, and I felt the softness and the coolness of flowers and their bouquet in my nostrils, and looked, so detail, listening for all that. And the exercise was to listen to all the detail and be able to say it back. And some of us think that's what listening is, and sometimes it's really difficult to listen to all the detail. It takes a lot of attention, and it takes a narrowing of our sensitivity. I saw, though, that there, some people were happy with that part, but it was superficial contact with each other. Oh. And if seemed to, I saw at that moment that if we are always talking to people who are listening that way, it makes it difficult for us to contact a deeper depth within us. But anyway, this is the depth of our life is to me the same as the depth with which we are listening to. And that's what you were saying about art. People can listen to the depth of it, or they can listen to it as content. Interact with it like content. Oh yeah, I saw Michelangelo's David, I saw the Mona Lisa, I saw the carved door, I saw the thinker, the great carved statue of the thinker. I've seen great art. Well, what effect did it have on you? I saw it. There it was. It was hard to get to. There was a long line. It was a hot day. But what effect did the Mona Lisa have on you? There were so many people there. I could hardly see it.
Right.
Yeah, so I think that the depth of our responsiveness comes from, as you were saying, the depth of contact with ourselves. And the depth of contact with ourselves can start with the depth with which we're listening, the depth with which we are wondering, the depth at which we're questioning. So if I'm listening to you, and the question I'm asking myself all the time is, am I going to remember all this? And what if Adam later brings up his vacation? Well, I remember the name of the hotel where he stayed. I have to remember all that. I will not really know you. And if I don't know you, it means I'm not in touch with myself at a very deep level either.
Right.
So that's the sort of where we started here, is the, are we living in a way that's building ourselves into someone who's paying attention superficially to the content of something or the surface of something.
Right.
Because that's what my response will be. And I think it's pretty goofy and non-productive, say, the response people are having to our current political situation in America, which is people are just saying, isn't it awful? And can you believe it? And it's so stupid. And can you believe that people are doing that? Not any depth, no wondering. What's the intention? What's the life concern behind it? Just all following the what people are saying, the content of it. Not looking for longer patterns that exist over a longer period of time, so on.
Well, and also I think to me it sounds like also in that listening, it's listening at the surface level content within ourselves. So what do these headlines or things that I'm seeing in the news or overhearing in conversation, they affecting me, and I pay attention to the effect at the surface level. So I'm agitated or I feel some discomfort or some outrage, but I never go anywhere below that. So I have a reactive response to what's happening versus wondering, what is it really about this that's agitating me? What can I learn about this agitation and what can I do with it at a deeper level rather than just being in this mood of agitation all the time?
Yep. So most of us don't employ our emotions to motivate us. Sometimes, most of the times, we just use our emotions to push us around, or as you were just saying, agitate ourselves, keep ourselves stirred up. But people, anyone that I've ever heard of who has a long-term deep commitment to something does it because of strong feeling. Some people who listen to this will know about our developmental model of the 10 ways. And one of the big steps, the important steps of having efficacy in the world is going from the level of conversations to the level of power. An alternate name that we're slowly introducing for these levels are going from a world where things are fluid, where they're not fixed in any particular way, that they can change pretty rapidly. That's conversations, to a world in which things are more intentionally constructed, that we call power. And the alternate new name is focused. So you know this stuff, Adam, because you're one of our leaders of the PCC. So, but we in our year-long class, so we talk about this movement from conversation to power, or from being fluid to being focused, as having to do with limiting how much of our life energy, our force, our presence gets wasted, gets leaked. So that's what we're talking, in a way, that's what we're talking about today, is how to focus that energy. Art is a beautiful way of doing it. If we let ourselves be in the presence of a great piece of art, then we're strongly with an emotion that can be the energy that motivates our actions. Or we can stay in the superficial level and be alternately agitated or entertained, which just disperses our life force, our energy. We don't accomplish much.
Right. Yeah, so the question we started with is, how do we cultivate a response in this world that we're in? A lot of what we've been talking about is, what are you paying attention to? Externally and internally. And how is that influencing how you respond?
Yeah, and making up our mind that we're not going to pay attention to everything. We're going to pay attention to a few things, and that's enough. And deal with our anxiety of, as we were talking about, of not knowing everything about everything. It is odd now that we can have access to information about everything. We feel like, then I have to. I don't know why we have to.
I was just wondering, why do we have to? Where is that coming from?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's not being thought of as left behind or out of it, something these days is very, we judge ourselves and we're worried about other people judging us if we're not informed.
Right. Well, what was coming up for me, the word that was coming up was stand. Like, can we take a stand that we're not going to pay attention to everything?
Yeah.
And do people feel like they have something to stand on if they were to declare that? Or is there something, some foundational thing they feel missing? That, well, if I do that, then what? Mm-hmm.
Right. So there's, in this, as we're saying, this step of becoming focused is a journey into loss and letting go of things and dealing with our mental and physical agitation about losing things. And, well, I don't know what the stock market did today. Yes. Their body will want that or feel pulled to look it up.
Yeah.
Can we let it go?
Right.
On and on and on. So taking a stand, I think, is a nice notion. As long as people remember it, it isn't like a one-time event. Like, I'm taking a stand. That's just saying, I'm expressing what I'm intending to do. Then we have to do it.
Right, right. You
know, in speech act theory, declarations open up the possibility, but nothing happens until we take action.
And to underscore what you're saying, that it's not a one, taking action doesn't mean one time necessarily, especially in what we're talking about. It's ongoing.
It's every day.
Right? Every day, minute by minute, day by day.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is Adam Klein, Global Graduate Director and faculty member at New Ventures West, and I've been joined by James Flaherty. This has been another episode of the podcast Stepping In. Please spread the news by sharing this podcast on social media, and let us know what you think by emailing us at steppingin@newventureswest.com. Until next time, take care. Thank you.